Good evening, and a warm word of welcome once again to Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. I want to thank you once again, as always, for joining with us, and it is our prayer that the Lord will richly bless you as you're gathering with us this evening for our evening time of worship and praise on to the Lord. Just to say to you again, we want to reiterate the announcement that we made this morning, that God willing, this Wednesday night, Wednesday the 1st of July, we will be reconvening our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church building, and we do extend to each one a very warm welcome to come along to that service on Wednesday night. Maybe you've been joining in over the weeks and you're not one of the regular attenders here. Well, let me take this opportunity to personally invite you and to say that you'd be more than welcome to join with us either in the Wednesday evening or in the Sunday services. Now, can we just say in relation to the Wednesday night, God willing, tomorrow night and the Monday night, our committee and session will be meeting here in the church to do a risk assessment of the building and to make sure that the place is as safe as possible for your return. So do pray for wisdom to be given to our committee and session in that regard, and that everything, every step that will be taken will be guided and blessed by the Lord. Can we also say that the weekly midweek prayer meeting will be taking place in the main church building for the foreseeable future, so do bear that in mind. Week by week on the Wednesday night, it will be in the main church hall, and also the Sunday services. But as I say, do pray much for the return of our services. We do look forward certainly to gathering together once again in the house of the Lord to read the scriptures together, to praise the Lord, and even to pray one for the other. And so we do take this opportunity to thank you for joining with us over these weeks. And as we said, we will be continuing the broadcasts week by week on the Wednesday and on the Sunday via YouTube and Sermon Audio on Facebook for those that are shielding at this time. Now, to commence our service this evening, we're delighted one of our young people, Sarah Fleming, has recorded this piece on the piano, and she's going to play to us now. Thanks, Sarah, for playing that beautiful piece for us on the piano. It certainly has been a blessing to our hearts. I invite you this evening to open your Bibles in the Gospel according to John, John's Gospel and the chapter number 12. John's Gospel and the chapter number 12, I want to read some verses together from it. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 35. So John's Gospel, the chapter number 12 and the verse 35. The word of God says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word once again to each and to every heart. I want to direct your attention primarily to the words that are found in the verse 37. The verse 37 of John's Gospel, chapter 12. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Amen. And may the Lord write it upon our hearts, even though that words are those words that are found in verse 37. I want to speak tonight on the subject, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, coming into thy most holy presence in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who knew no sin and who did no sin. The one who came down into this sin-cursed world, was tempted and tried as we are, yet never once did he bow and give in to that temptation. We do rejoice that he is a holy God, and even now he's enthroned in high. He died for our sins and rose from the dead, ascended up into glory. And O Father, we thank thee for the glorious promise that our Lord and Saviour, he is alive. He is alive forevermore, and we shall join with him. Each one that is saved, each one that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, each one that has repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in him, that one day they shall see him face to face, and they shall be with him forevermore. Lord, we pray, even as we will study this passage and consider this verse even now, that thou wilt bless thy word to each heart, that thy spirit will be working, O God, that thy spirit will be striking that chord even within the sinner's heart, of that great need of salvation, even for their own lives. O God, we pray that thou wilt move in these days, that in these days of chaos across our world, that men and women will turn and put their faith and trust in the God of heaven and of earth. Hear our prayer this night, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. George Frederick Handel, the great musician and composer, one stage in his life, he lost his health. His right side was paralyzed. His money was gone. His creditors seized and threatened to put him into prison. And Handel, because of everything that had come his way in his life, he was so disheartened by his tragic circumstances that he almost gave up completely for a brief time. But by the grace of God, his faith prevailed. And after that time in his life, he composed his greatest work of all, which is still so precious to many, even around the Christmas time, in particular the Hallelujah Chorus, which is part of Handel's Messiah. You know, the Apostle John, he wrote in 1 John 5 in the verse number 4, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is the most important aspect of a person's life. Each and every individual has a belief or a faith in something. Sadly, for many today, they have believed a lie that all they need to do to have a good life and to be successful is simply to believe in themselves. That if you're a positive person, if you think positive thoughts, and if you have that positive aura about you, and you believe in yourself, well, you can do anything. And you can succeed at anything. It's all about positive thinking and a positive mindset. And then the world's simply your oyster. Well, personally, I don't believe or follow in that kind of shallow good thoughts and positive thoughts. I'd rather adhere to the words of Proverbs 3 in the verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, acknowledge Christ. Look to Christ for everything in your life, and he shall direct thy path. You know, faith isn't some new concept in this postmodern era. Belief, or a lack of it, has always been a vital aspect of a person's life. And here in this passage that we've read together, our attention is centered upon the issue once again of belief. 8 times between the verse 37 and the end of the chapter, belief is mentioned both in the positive and in the negative. We read of those who believed and those who didn't. We read, if we had continued on in our reading, the verse 42, it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But yet the verses previous, and especially the verse 37, which we're directing our attention to tonight, many did not believe on him. You know, verse 37 gives a very sad testimony of the people at that time. You know, there are a number of verses in Scripture which can rightly be said are very sad and grievous verses to read. Mark 5 in the verse 17, just to give you one example, is one such verse. And there in Mark 5 we read that the Lord has come into the land of Gadara, and he has met with that demoniac, the man that was full of demons by the name of Legion. And those demons had besought the Lord as the Lord was about to cast them out. They said, Lord, bid us, and we want to go into that herd of swine. And the Lord had permitted those evil demons to go into the herd of swine, and the swine had ran down the hill violently into the sea and were drowned. Instead of the people of Gadara rejoicing, whenever they saw the demoniac Legion clothed and in his right mind, calm, instead of being thankful for that wonderful change in the man's life, instead, Mark 5 and the verse 17, it says, they began to pray him, in other words, to pray Christ to depart out of their coasts. What a sad state when a nation wants the influence and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ removed from it. And surely that can be attributed to many lives and even to nations today. They want no influence or impact or any mention of the Lord Jesus Christ in society. John 12, the verse 37, is a sad verse indeed to read. A sad testimony to be given of the nation. There are 3 things I want to highlight out of this passage and this verse in particular. I want you to see, firstly, the privilege that they had. The privilege that they had. Verse 37 says, though he had done so many miracles before them. The men and women in those days had the amazing privilege of having the Lord Jesus Christ physically and literally before them. They could see him. They could observe a life of perfection. They could watch him as he went from one place to the other, how he conducted himself before all of mankind, each and every individual that came his way. He treated them with that respect. He treated them with grace. He reproved those that were wrong, yes. But he was so gracious. He was so compassionate. He was so long-suffering. Not only could they see him, but they could hear him. The greatest preacher that there's ever been. The one who preached with authority. The one who preached with clarity. The one who preached with such unction upon his preaching. The one who preached with such an unbelievable knowledge of the scriptures and each and every doctrine, because simply he was God manifest in flesh. The one who the officers had to state in John 7 verse 46, never man spake like this man. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're highlighting again the uniqueness of the Son of God. They could see him, they could hear him. They could talk to him face to face. As verse 35 highlights to us, the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Even as Christ himself says, yet a little while is the light with you. Remember, this was a nation. The land of Israel at that time was a nation that had been invaded and taken over by the Roman Empire. The Jewish people, the Israelite people, certainly were not free. They had to obey and abide by the Roman laws. On top of that, they had the spiritual state in the land as well, being very dark, much evil and wickedness, one towards another, the spiritual burdens of being under the law and under the rule and authority of the Pharisees. That Pharisee sect had risen up and taken over, as it were, the religion. And from that time, whenever they took over, they constantly just placed more and more burdens upon the people. Christ entered into that darkness. During those 3 years of his ministry, he shone brightly as the light of the world. Much hardship from the Romans, much hardship from the Pharisees, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ came. Yes, he preached a message of repentance, but he also preached a message of hope. Matthew 11, verse 28, he cried unto them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. My, what a difference the message of Christ was to that which was taught of the Pharisees, not which was forced upon them by the Romans. Christ taught grace and peace with God. The Pharisees taught burdens upon burdens. Christ showed them how to live. He showed them how to understand the scriptures. He showed them how to have peace with God, how to have sins forgiven. My friend, those people in those days had a great privilege. The Lord Jesus Christ before them. Tonight, each one that listens into this broadcast, and maybe you've heard the gospel preached time and time again, you've been presented with the gospel light in days of great darkness. I don't need to go into the detail of how serious and how dark a day we live in. How sin is on every side. How the enemy has come in like a flood. How that the moral standards have been absolutely decimated. And how men and women right across the world are treating each other with horrendous acts. And yet the light shines forth. You're presented with the love of God. The sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. The salvation that he freely offers. Well, my friend, it's a mercy and a great privilege that the Lord has allowed you even to hear of his mercy and grace. It's a mercy and grace that any of us, that God ever revealed to any of us, the salvation which he offers. We've heard it before, and maybe you've heard it for many years. That Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures, that through him you can be justified. You can be declared righteous. Your slate can be wiped clean. You can have peace with God forever. And yet I wonder how many that are listening in tonight fit into the words of John 12 and verse 37. Yet they believed not on him. The privilege that they had. But then secondly, I want you to see the power that he demonstrated. The power that he demonstrated. Verse 37, it says, though he had done so many miracles, and listen to these words, so many miracles before them. Right before their very eyes, Christ was performing miracle after miracle. It wasn't simply hearsay. It wasn't simply that someone was coming into their area or someone was spreading it, maybe in a family member, and they're coming around and saying, "Oh, by the way, there's a man called Jesus and he did this wonderful thing the other day." They weren't simply reading about the acts and the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the newspaper or in the local bulletin. They were witnessing these miracles firsthand, right before their very eyes. It wasn't a case that Christ did his miracles in a back street corner away from the public eye. No, so many of his miracles, the majority of his miracles, done there before the very crowds. These people saw lame men being raised to walk. Men that were carried into the crowd. Men that were lying at the side of the street. Men that they knew had not walked for years, if ever. And suddenly the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes, he takes them by the hand, he raises them to their feet, and they're able to walk perfectly. Ankle bones are placed in the joint, and everything is working. There's no stiffness, there's no limping. Men that once were lame now are walking, running, leaping, praising God. They saw blind men being given 20/20 vision. Men that had never seen anything but darkness. Christ would come, whether simply he said, "Receive thy sight," whether it be the case that he made clay out of his spittle and put it upon their eyes. Whatever the case may be, each one that the Lord deemed and chose even to help at that time, right before their very eyes, blind men were made to see. Lepers were completely cured. Those that had to stay outside of the city walls, those that had to stay away in that secluded quarantine area, those that were covered in leprosy from head to foot, yet whenever the Lord Jesus Christ intervened in their lives, not one single mark, not one, was left upon their bodies. No lasting side effects. No possibility of a second wave of leprosy. The Lord Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 simple loaves and 2 fishes, enough just to feed the one man, because it was only one man that brought it. And Christ took those 5 loaves and took those 2 fishes, and he kept just dividing out that food, and it fed over 5,000 people. You know, and as I read this passage, I believe that within the verse 37 of John 12, you have some that were there and were fed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe those that enjoyed that meal there in the wilderness that Christ fed to them are numbered within the verse 37. And yet for all that these people saw, and all that these people experienced of the power of the Lord, yet they believed not. Every single clear demonstration of Christ showing that he was very God of very God. Every single demonstration that he showed that he was the eternal Son of God. Manifest, in other words, clothed in flesh, clothed in that human body. He had come down into this world. He was God and he still remained God. He never set aside his deity. He was always God. And he showed it in his authority and his power over creation and over every disease. He could eradicate it all. He possessed the full power and the attributes of God. And yet, they wouldn't believe. Now I think of the 10 lepers. Luke's Gospel 17, the verses 11 to 19. The Lord, in his great mercy, healed all 10 of them. And yet 9 refused to give any glory to God, for what he had done for them. Christ stated of those nine in the verse 18 of Luke 17, he says, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." In other words, he healed ten, only one came to give him the glory. You know, you apply this point, our train of thought, even at this time in relation to the power being demonstrated to many in society today. There are people who say that if they are to get saved, well, it has to be in their terms and in their way. Some expect some great event to happen around them, a great miracle to be done before them, a great flash of lightning, as it were, and the Lord just to do this miraculous thing and put on a great display. They'll say, oh, if the Lord were to appear, or an angel were to appear, something unbelievable were to happen, then of course, well, then they would believe. That reminds me of Luke 16. And there in that time, the Lord gave the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and he went to hell. Luke 16, the verses 27 and 28. The rich man being in torments there in hell, he said, "I pray thee therefore that thou would send him to my father's house." In other words, send Lazarus. Do a wonderful miracle. He's asking Abraham. He's saying, "Abraham, bring Lazarus back from the dead." So, because what does he say? Verse 28, "I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." In other words, what's the man saying? Do a great miracle, bring a man back from the dead, and then my brothers will listen, and my brothers will get saved. Well, here in John 12, miracles were taking place all around them. And yet the people were not saved, and the people would not believe. All of the demonstrations of the power of God, and yet it's a hardened people. No one saved today, you want to see a miracle? You want to see a miracle of God? You're looking at one. You look at any Christian that's born again, that's a miracle of grace. You look at any Christian that's washed in the blood of Christ, and my friend, then you're looking at a miracle. Because every child of God, everyone that is born again by the Spirit of God, is a miracle. For once they were dead in trespasses and in sins, it tells us in Ephesians 2 and the verse 1. But now you're made alive in Christ Jesus. We were spiritually dead. I was once spiritually dead in my sins. And one that is dead can only be brought to life by an amazing act of God. A Christian who is brought from death to life, they're a new creature. They're changed forever. My friend, salvation is a miracle which God performs by His Spirit in each and every one of His children. He causes the old things to pass away. He causes all things to become new. You see, the gospel is miraculous. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. My friend, that power is still there today. Miracles of grace are still happening today, both in this country and around the world. Souls are being saved. Men, women, boys and girls are being brought from spiritual death unto eternal spiritual life in Christ Jesus. So my question is this: will you not believe in Him? Will you not believe in the one who has all of the power and all of the authority? The privilege they had, the power was demonstrated before them. Then thirdly and finally, I want to leave you with this, the predicament that they were now in. The predicament that they were now in. Verse 35, the Lord says, yet a little while is the light with you. The end of verse 36, it says, these things spake Jesus, and listen to this, and departed, and did hide himself from them. See, these verses, it clearly shows us there is a cutoff point. There is a time of opportunity, but that time did for those people and will for you come to an end. Verse 35, Christ is clearly showing the invitation to be saved is not an unending one. The invitation to come unto him will cease to be given. Genesis 6 and the verse 3 brings it home very, very clearly. This is a verse which every single sinner needs to take heed of and needs to consider. Because God in that verse, he clearly says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let me say it again on save to you. The Lord is saying, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, maybe within you over these weeks, maybe months, maybe even just tonight, there's a voice speaking to you within. There's an understanding in your mind and your heart, and you're agreeing with what is being said. Yes, I need to be saved. And there's that pricking of the conscience even within you, and you know you're not right with God. And you know if you were to die tonight and you were to die in your sins, you'd be condemned and damned to hell forever. And there's those thoughts that are going through your mind. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to get right with God. That's the working of the Spirit within you. And that working of the Spirit, you constantly reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The working of the Spirit will cease. That desire to be near to Christ, that desire even to see and to hear His Word, will diminish when the Spirit stops striving. And then, my friend, where would you be? Where were these people going to end up in John 12? Well, taking verse 36, they had the light. The light was taken away. You take the light away, then you're left in darkness. And ultimately, each one who rejects Christ and dies in their sins, their destination is a place that is known as a place of outer darkness. It's hell. These people in John 12, having rejected Christ and rejecting the light, are then left to themselves with no hope and no possibility of ever having hope. For if the Spirit ceases to strive, then they can never believe. You cannot conjure up faith yourself. You cannot just get saved whenever you so please. You look at John 12 and the verses 39 and 40. It says, therefore they could not believe
Because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, he hath hardened their heart, that they could not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. You think of Pharaoh in Egypt, in the book of Exodus. Moses and Aaron come down to Pharaoh, come with that message from the Lord, and you'll find in Exodus 5, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. He refuses, so God starts sending plagues upon them. You start going through the chapters from Exodus 5 and following. Each plague that comes upon him, he says, oh, if you get rid of this plague, if you pray to your God, and he gets rid of this plague from us, then I'll let you go. And each time that the plague goes away, it tells us then Pharaoh hardened his heart. Then we come to a very interesting passage. Very interesting verse is found in Exodus 9 in the verse 27. It says there, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. He goes on then to verse 28. He says, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Pharaoh comes to an understanding. He accepts that he is a sinner. And he accepts that the Lord is righteous. He comes to a point where he understands who God is. And that Pharaoh, even though he considered himself to be a demigod, that he isn't a god at all, and there's only one God, and he's a righteous God, and Pharaoh has sinned before him. But you notice the words of that verse. Pharaoh never repents of his sin. He simply says to Moses and to Aaron to entreat the Lord so that the thunder and the hail be taken away. That was Pharaoh's final opportunity. That was his last chance. That was his cutoff point. That was when the Spirit of God ceased to strive with Pharaoh. Because I direct your attention then over to Exodus 10 and the verse 20. Because as I said, from Exodus 5 and following, it tells us time and again that Pharaoh hardened his heart. But Exodus 10 and the verse 20, it tells us something very different. Because there in that passage it says this, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, now God has cut him off. Now the Spirit of God no longer is striving. Now his time of opportunity has passed. And from that time on, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. You know, today in society, I've even had experience of this myself, that there are men and women who play with God. There are those over the time that I have witnessed to, highlighted to them their need of salvation. And they know they need to be saved. And they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can save them. And yet for some reason, men and women today in society, they just play with God. And they just play with the gospel as if the gospel's just take it or leave it. It's there when we want it. We'll come and get it when we're ready. Men and women seem to have this idea in their head. We'll just use and abuse the gospel. We'll use and abuse the Lord. We'll turn to him and we'll just pray a wee prayer to the man above whenever times are hard. It's just some commodity. I'll go on enjoying my life and the pleasures of the world. It's your salvation, and the Lord will be there whenever I'm on my deathbed. I'll live as I want in all of my sin, and I'll take everything the world offers to me. And then whenever I'm that ripe old age and I'm lying in my deathbed and I've finished my life, as it were, and it's coming to an end, then I'll just take that salvation there right at the last moment. My friend, that mentality is not only dangerous, it is madness. Number one, it's madness to think that you know what's going to come tomorrow, because no man knoweth what a day will bring forth. You can't guarantee you're going to see tonight out. You can't guarantee you'll wake up in the morning. You can't guarantee that the Lord will give you a long life. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment, your appointed time is already set. And it doesn't matter whether you hide away from a coronavirus for all of these days. The Lord can take you with something else if He so desires. You want to play with God, God can wipe you out in a second. That's the reality. If the Lord has been speaking to you in His mercy and grace over these weeks and months, I beg you in my Savior's name, don't put Him off. Don't simply say, I'll get saved on my time. It tells us now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Lord says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. These men and women, John 12. Look at the words. Verse 36, the Lord departed and did hide Himself from them. And they believed not on Him. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't say the Lord left, it says the Lord hid Himself. They were no longer able to see Him, to hear Him, or to come to Him. Lost forever. Men, women, boys and girls, young people, please do not, I'm begging you in my Savior's name, do not put off Christ. Do not put off salvation. Do not think you'll come in your latter years whenever you so choose. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Come to Him today. Come to Him even now. We're going to close our service this evening with the singing of our hymn by our sister Kirsten McMullen, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Listen to the words. And may that be the reality for many in this area. That today and even tonight they will turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ.
No light in the darkness, you see.
Let me say, if I can be of any assistance at all, if you have any questions about the salvation of your soul, please do get in contact with us. The details, as always, come up at the end of the recording. And I do pray that the Lord will continue to work in your heart. This will be the night when you put your faith and trust in Christ. Don't leave it off to tomorrow. Please, I beg you in my Saviour's name, come to Him. Cry on to Him even now. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the grace of God. We thank Thee that we can be saved from our sins. We pray, O God, that what has been testified of those people in Israel at that time will not be testified of the men and women in this area and even further afield. That men and women who have heard the word of God, men and women who have seen the power of the gospel and what it can do to a sinner, how it can save them from all of their sin. Oh God, may they not stay in their sin and stay in the world, but rather that they will turn their eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. O Spirit of God, speak on, we pray Thee. Work in hearts this night. Convince and convert sinners, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.